Good morning. Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church this morning. It's a little rainy and dark and cloudy, but in here, it's filled with light and warmth and the love of God. So I'm so glad you're here. I'm glad you're here with us if you're here in church. I'm glad you're with us if you're online. Our Bible study continues this Thursday. We're coming towards the end of it, but you are still invited to come and take part as we look at prayer. We meet in the parlor beginning at 7 o'clock, and you are more than welcome to join us. There are lots of other announcements in your bulletin, and I hope you have a chance to read through them. But we've gathered this morning to be in worship. So let us continue that worship by joining together in our gathering song, 10,000 Reasons. Let us rise and sing together.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. Worship Your holy name. The sun.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, mighty and immortal, you know that as fragile creatures surrounded by great dangers, we cannot by ourselves stand upright. Give us strength of body and mind so that even when we suffer because of human sin, we may rise victorious through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The first lesson is from the 58th chapter of Isaiah. If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong, and you will be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. If you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interests on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, serving your own interests, or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord. And I will make you ride upon the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of your ancestor Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson is from the 12th chapter of Hebrews. You have not come to something that can be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom, and a tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that another word be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even an animal touches the mountain, it shall be stoned to death. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse the one who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused the one who warned them on earth, how much less will we escape if we reject the one who warns from heaven? At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of what is shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us give thanks, by which we offer to God an acceptable worship and reverence with awe. For indeed, our God is a consuming fire. The word of the Lord.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke in the 13th chapter. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood straight up and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, do not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. The Gospel of our Lord. The congregation may be seated. I would love to invite any children to come on forward. Good morning. I have just some random things here. Good. Well, how are you? Haven't seen you in a while. Good to see you. Well, hello, and how are you? I'm so glad to hear that. All right. Last week we talked about this great cloud of witnesses, and we talked about all of the people surrounding us, all right? And so I want this piece of paper for you to represent all of the people. All right. Some of them are that great cloud of witnesses, and some of them are just normal people that you see on the street or at the store or whatever. This is God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, whatever it is, God wants to surround us. God wants to hold us close. All right. There we are. So it's all of the people, and it's God surrounding us and all the rest of that. Right. Right. But people sometimes don't want to be all together. In fact, sometimes people are like, "Nope, I want to be right here, and I want to make sure that this one stays a long way away from me." All right? So this could be the leader of the synagogue from the gospel story, and that could be the woman who comes in all bent over. Or this could be, you know, the leader of the and all the folks in the synagogue, and this could be Jesus. All right? But they are completely separated. We don't want to be that. We don't want anything to do, right? What Jesus does today in the gospel story is remind us all that we are connected. We are connected to God and to each other. To God and to, there you are. Amazing little trick. There it is, right? We're connected. And so if you bump into somebody here at church, you're connected. And if you saw that same person at the store, you're still connected. And as we work together and live together and love together, we're all connected to the people around us. And so it's not as if somehow or another we're over here and you guys are over there and we really don't want to have anything to do with you, right? Or boys against girl. No, we are all of us connected in the love of God. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you for being our connection. We thank you for the life you lived, for the death you died, but more importantly, for the resurrection you did so that we might know God's love. Help us to stay connected to you, to one another, and to the world around us. We thank you for the day, Lord. Amen. You guys have a great day. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Much of what happens in our lives can be described as if-then occurrences. If we study hard, then we'll get good grades. If we obey the law, then we won't go to jail. If you can see the baseball well enough to get a hit, then you could be a major leaguer. If and then are the ways that many of us structure our lives and even our faith. But I believe that Jesus is showing us something else today. Jesus is setting us free to live our lives of love and service and not be trapped in the if-then world that so many of us believe is required. In the Judaism of Jesus' day, many people lived in that if-then pattern. If we can all follow God's law, then the Messiah will come. If you do not follow the law, and I mean all 613 of them, then we will all be disappointed and angry with you, and we will insult you and talk behind your back. If you can be more like me, then you too can be beloved by God. That was how many people looked and lived their lives. But then there were specifics within that. If you walk more than 2,000 cubits on Sabbath, then you are breaking God's law. If you do any of your own work on Sabbath, then you are breaking God's law. If you do anything on Sabbath, except maybe for coming to synagogue, then you are breaking God's law. And so the last thing that anyone wanted to do was to be seen as trampling on the Sabbath, as Isaiah warns us about this morning. And so today, Jesus is at the synagogue on Sabbath. Jesus was teaching, and into the synagogue entered a woman bent over. She had been bent over for 18 years, in fact. And Luke says that there was a spirit that crippled her. Now, I don't know what that means, but I cannot imagine being bent over for so long. I can't imagine how vulnerable that made her. Think about it. Looking straight ahead took effort and caused pain. Looking at the sky was impossible. Looking at the floor and at other people's feet was her point of view. And still, this woman came to synagogue because this woman believed that if she came to synagogue on Sabbath, then she was following God's law. She was there that day. She came to synagogue, and I think that most people there ignored her. Most of them hadn't even taken the effort to see her face. They didn't know if she was young or old, but most probably thought that she was ancient. She came in unnoticed by most, but Jesus noticed her. Jesus saw a sister. Jesus saw a fellow child of God. Jesus saw someone who was bound in pain and lost to all her fellows. Jesus saw her as one of God's beloved. Now, most people, if they thought of her at all, would have been wondering what was her sin that had caused this crippling condition. Most, because they thought it was sin, would have tried to avoid her. They would have probably preferred that she wasn't there at all. Jesus saw her and paid attention to her. Jesus called her over. He spoke to her, as I'm guessing no one had spoken to her for a while. He spoke to her gently, and as he spoke and as he touched her back with a gentleness she was unused to, he said to her, "Woman, you are free from your ailment." And with these amazing, gentle, powerful words, Jesus changed her life. Because as Jesus spoke and as Jesus touched her, she could stand straight. She could look Jesus in the eye. She could see all the people around her. She could look up into the sky. She could dance and shout thanks and praise to God for all of God's goodness. Because of God's love, therefore, her life was changed. Because of the presence of God's love in Jesus, therefore, her world is changed, and we have witnessed the power of God's love in Jesus Christ our Lord. But in the story, in the midst of all her joy, in spite of Jesus' gentle words and stunning insight, there were many people in the synagogue who were upset. The leader of the synagogue was indignant. There are 6 days when that could happen. If Jesus hadn't done this, then I wouldn't have to scold him. You see, Sabbath, in their understanding, was to be a day of rest, following God's own example at creation. It was meant to be a day of rest, of refraining from work and of spending time on your relationship with God. It was for all of that that these other little rules began to be made, like how far you could walk and what you could get away with. But you see, for many, following all of those rules that came afterward became more important than spending time in our relationship with God. The leader of the synagogue seemed to have forgotten that the commandments at their most basic are about love God and love your neighbor. Even in Isaiah today, we can see some of those if-then phrases. But right before our reading, Isaiah is telling us of God's goodness. So here Isaiah is reminding us, as Jesus is reminding us, that because of God's love and presence among us, therefore we can love our neighbor. Therefore we get to care for those around us. No one had seen this woman who came to the synagogue in years. No one cared. Jesus saw her and cared. She went from being an unknown woman whom the crowd had ignored to being named a daughter of Abraham, from whom this world would be blessed. Jesus asked the leader of the synagogue and anyone else who was upset like him to remember that livestock is cared for even on the Sabbath. This woman is not livestock. She is our sister and God's beloved child. She needed help, and God's command to love trumps every other consideration. So Jesus loved, and he did so that we would see that we too have opportunities to love all around us. Sometimes they happen on a Sabbath, or sometimes on a Tuesday, or a Friday, or whenever. We get to love our neighbor, and we get to help the world around us. Because God loves us so, therefore we get to share that love with anyone and everyone. God's love is not if then. God's love is always because, therefore. Because we are loved, because Jesus came to teach us and heal us, because Jesus suffered, died, and rose for us, therefore we are filled with God's love. Therefore we get to see our neighbors as real people. Therefore we get to love our neighbors as we are able. Therefore God stands beside us, working with us. Therefore, the world is changed in God's love. We can be part of all that. We get to be part of all that because, therefore, amen. At this moment in time, I would love to invite everyone who is going back to school, whether you're going to elementary school or preschool or middle school or high school, whether you're going to, come on up. If you will be carrying a backpack, yes, Olivia, that even means you. They were just telling you that. They were just telling you that, weren't they? Yeah, I could tell. I can, right? It's the same thing for Katie, but she's not coming up either. Well, there, stand up, stand right there, you know. There we are! The few, the chosen, the brave, yes, all the right, you know. Well, there, here comes Tatum. There we are. Yes, yes, yes. But I'm also talking about teachers, aides, administrators, all the rest of you. People, if you're going to be spending your time in a school, we need to have all of you being blessed, all right? See, we have for each of you to go on your backpack, to go on your briefcase, to go on any of those things. Yay! Yay! There are more people coming. Yay! Yay! We want you to have them. We want you to have them. We want you. No, stand up. We're not done yet. It's not like, take your prize and go. I'm gonna, you know, there we are. There you are. All right. So all of you. Oh, and yay. Yay, yay, yay. Yay, 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 that is for you. All of you are going back to school. First of all, congratulations, all right, and all the rest of those things. But now, let us pray. God of wisdom, we give you thanks for schools and classrooms and for the teachers and students who fill them each day. We thank you for this new beginning, for new books and new ideas. We thank you for sharpened pencils, pointy crayons, crisp blank pages waiting to be filled. We thank you for the gift of making mistakes and trying again. Help us all to remember that asking the right questions is often as important as giving the right answer. Gracious God, we lift to you this day these students. They stand here ready to receive your blessings, and they commit themselves to study and learning in the school year ahead. We ask your blessing on each of them. We pray as well for the teachers and administrators in our schools. May they also be sustained by your blessing. May they be reminded that this congregation embraces their call to teaching and learning and surrounds them with love and care as well. Lord, bless these tags and the backpacks and the children and youth who will carry them as they begin yet another year of school. Give them peace when they feel nervous, focus when they feel distracted, energy when they feel tired. Open their minds to the lessons they will learn both in and outside the classroom. Help them to make friends that build one another up and be friends to those who need them. Guide them in making good choices as they grow in wisdom and maturity. Be ever present with them in the classroom, on the school bus, on the playground, and at home. And may they feel your loving care in all they do. As these students carry their backpacks, may they be reminded of the love and care of this congregation that surrounds them each school day. Lord, also bless those in the ministry of teaching future generations. As they embark on a new school year, grant them energy, passion, discipline, and endurance for their daily tasks. Infuse their classrooms with an atmosphere of care and mutual respect, that all interactions there will be bathed in patience and understanding. Give them loving hearts, wise minds, strong spirits, and a passion for their students. Fill them with joy, sustain and strengthen them, and give them rest when they are weary. Let them trust the seeds they plant, even when they do not see the harvest. Let them hear deep within themselves your words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." All this we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Go to your classrooms with all our blessing. And thank you all for coming up, even those of you who thought you were too old to do so. Yes. And now, let us join together in prayer. Please rise. Trusting in God's extraordinary love, let us come near to the Holy One in prayer. You crown your church with steadfast love and mercy. Guide us continually in our baptismal covenant to strive for justice and peace in all the earth. Use our diverse gifts in service to the whole people of God. Lord, in your mercy, you satisfy the needs of all creatures. Protect the habitats of fish and birds. Repair ecosystems damaged by misuse, neglect, or natural disaster, that all creation may thrive. We pray once again, Lord, for the people devastated by the explosion in Evansville, Indiana. Bless and be with them as they try to piece their lives together. Grant your wholeness, your patience, your courage, and your hope. Lord, in your mercy, You make your ways known to all people. Inspire the rulers and leaders of nations with your compassion and mercy. Raise up activists, community organizers, and all people to restore places affected by violence, poverty, and inequality. Lord, in your mercy, compassionate God, we pray for those who need your healing presence. Bless all who suffer illness and disease, who struggle with injury and accident. We pray especially for Jack, Carol, Fran, Sharon, Adrian, John and Kathy, Emily, Jean and Brian, Mike, Jeff and Robbie. May the hope-filled presence of Christ rest upon them and all. Lord, in your mercy, you provide justice for all who are oppressed and relief to all who are afflicted. Heal those who are bent over by addiction, depression, and anxiety. Set free all who cry out under the weight of mental, emotional, or physical distress. Lord, in your mercy, you call us to delight in the Sabbath. Renew our bodies, minds, and spirits in this worshiping assembly. Give rest to all who lead our congregation in worship, study, and service. Lord, in your mercy, generations bless your holy name. We give you thanks for the communion of saints who have gathered in prayer and praise in this place. Support us in your love until we rest forever in you. Lord, in your mercy, risen Christ, as your death and resurrection give us hope, we recall with joy the saints who have gone before us. Praying for your comfort and hope, we remember especially Dick and Pam Greff. Be with their family and friends, and keep us all strong in hope that we may ever rely on your love in this life. Lord, in your mercy, receive the prayers of your children, merciful God, and hold us forever in your steadfast love. Through Jesus Christ, our holy wisdom. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us, pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord grant that we see what needs to be seen and do what needs to be done. May the Lord bless and protect you all. May the Lord bless, smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you all with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I hope your week is filled with blessing as you go into the world with hope.
May God's vision our mission.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
Yesterday was a day.